Good evening. Turn back to John 19. And I'm going to read the passage one more time. John 19, verse 1. Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him. And the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they put on him a purple robe and said, Hail, King of the Jews. And they smote him with their hands. Pilate therefore went forth again and saith unto them, Behold, I bring him forth to you, that ye may know that I find no fault in him. Then came Jesus forth, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, and Pilate saith unto them, Behold the man. When the chief priests therefore and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, Crucify him, crucify him. Pilate saith unto them, Take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him. The Jews answered him, We have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he was the more afraid, and went again into the judgment hall, and saith unto Jesus, Whence art thou? But Jesus gave him no answer. Then saith Pilate unto him, Speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee, and have power to release thee? Jesus answered, Thou couldest have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin. And from thenceforth Pilate sought to release him. But the Jews cried out, saying, If thou let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend. Whosoever maketh himself a king speaketh against Caesar. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus forth and sat down in the judgment seat in a place that is called the pavement, but in the Hebrew, Gabbatha. And it was the preparation of the Passover, and about the sixth hour, and he saith unto the Jews, Behold your king. But they cried out, Away with him, away with him, crucify him. Pilate saith unto them, Shall I crucify your king? The chief priest answered, We have no king but Caesar. Then delivered he him therefore unto them to be crucified. And they took Jesus and led him away. And he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him and two other with him, on either side one, and Jesus in the midst. Title of our message this evening is Behold Our Savior. And before I get into the details, the word behold is recorded over 1,300 times in Scripture. And I've often translated it to myself as look and see, or behold, consider. But for this study, I decided I would actually look the word up, see what it meant. And one particular meaning caught my eye, and that is to see. In other words, to become acquainted with by experience. To experience. What a blessing it would be this evening if our Lord would enable us to become acquainted with Him by experience, each of us personally. In this past week, we have received word of heartbreak that has come to brothers and sisters in Christ. One lost a mother. A young couple in Orlando lost a son, a newborn son. I can imagine, I can to an extent sympathize with both of these. I have a mother. I have a son. But I have not experienced personally the loss of either of those. I can't fully enter into what they are experiencing. I can hear of it. I can understand it. But my heart hasn't broken like that. A gospel preacher gets up, as John the Baptist did, and says, "Behold the Lamb of God." But he's not able to impart that experience to anyone that hears him. That takes the power of God alone. Nevertheless, tonight, I'm going to say, behold our Savior. In the book of John, our Lord recorded some statements concerning himself that begin with the word behold. And oh, may he be pleased to allow us to behold Christ in his glory through these statements. We'll look at six beholds, and Lord willing, we will see who he is. Behold your King. Our condition, behold the man. Our Lord's eternal purpose, behold the Lamb of God. The cause behind his purpose, behold how he loved. Why he is able to save us, behold, I find no fault in him, and how he saved us. Behold the man. We'll start right here in John 19, verse 14. And it was the preparation of the Passover, and about the sixth hour, and Pilate saith unto the Jews, behold your King. I know a little something about this. But how many today claim to call Jesus their King? Who say Jesus is a King? I did. Before I knew him as the King, he was King Jesus. King Jesus, who was just like Pilate thought of him, a defeated king, a king who needed my help, a king who was, in fact, no king at all. He was a figurehead. But I held the power over my salvation. If I did, I would be saved. If I didn't, I wouldn't be saved. I was king. Who is it that has redeemed lost, ruined sinners like me? Hold your place here. We'll be right back and go to Revelation chapter 19. Revelation 19, verse 11. Revelation 19:11. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Behold your King. Behold your glorious, victorious, almighty, sovereign King. Back in John 19, verse 5. Our King beheld us in our condition, and he came in our likeness. John 19:5. Then came Jesus forth, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, and Pilate saith unto them, Behold the man. I've heard this passage read. I've read this myself many times. And every time, my mind's eye pictures the scene. But it's always with rose-colored glasses on, so to speak. It's almost impossible to imagine the condition of the man that was brought forth. Behold the man. Paul recorded God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. We cannot grasp how great a statement that is. That God Almighty would condescend to come in our likeness. When you picture this scene, when you see it in your mind's eye, is it as polluted as mine is? Do you see a scene that has been made for a Hollywood movie? A man brought forth, and maybe he has a bloody lip. He's got a twined grapevines placed around his head, neatly placed. It's in good condition. May God be pleased to remove such foolishness from our minds. If we can get a glimpse of what the man looked like that was brought forth, we might have a little glimpse as to what our condition is outside of Christ before God. We are a bloody, swollen, miserable wretch of a creature. We are encased in our blood and the blood of others. Behold the man who the night before, while he prayed, his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood that stained his body. When Peter had drawn his sword and cut off the ear of the servant, this man touched his ear and healed him. A servant's blood gushing onto his hand. before Pilate had him scourged, before the elders, chief priests, and scribes came together to try him, the men that held Jesus mocked him and smote him. And these men who smote him were soldiers who no doubt had cracked and bleeding hands. It was cold. Peter had warmed himself by their fire. And these soldiers, being out in the elements all day, every day, I'm sure their hands would have cracked. And as they hit our Lord with their hands, their blood would have been mingled with his. This man gave his back to the smiters and his cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. He hid not his face from shame and spitting. As Pilate presents the man whose visage was so marred more than any man, behold him. What a contrast this man is to the one in Genesis 1:27, God created man in his own image. Our sin, our guilt before God has made us an unrecognizable creature to that which God created. Yet, we being in such a condition before God, in our pride, we crown ourselves. We take and put upon us a robe of purple, declaring ourselves king. Behold the man. Behold me. Words can't express what we are in God's sight outside of Christ. The absolute defilement we are. I am dead in trespasses and sins. From the sole of my foot even unto the head, there is no soundness in it, in me, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. There is no beauty in me that God should desire me. With such a creature before you, where might I find hope? Am I cast out of his sight forever? Turn to John chapter 1. John 1, verse 29. The next day, John, seeing Jesus coming unto him, and saith, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Our hope, our confidence, the confidence that the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ proclaims, is God, even when we were dead in sins, determined to save a host of Adam's descendants by the shed blood of his Lamb from the foundation of the world. Our hope, our rest, our confidence is salvation is of the Lord. He has chosen, he has purposed, he has executed, and those for whom he sent his Son to live for, to die for, and to redeem, he shall call them to himself by the preaching of his word, as we heard this morning. Now, why would God purpose to save such wretched and vile sinners as we are? Look at what we are. We're traitors against the just and good God who created us. Thieves, murderers, adulterers, who at every turn cry against God and say, no, God, and I'll not have you to reign over me. Why would God be willing to save such as we are? Turn to John 11, verse 36. John 11, 36. Then said the Jews, "Behold, how he loved him." Before God spoke the world into existence, before he formed man of the dust of the ground, he chose unto himself a people, and he set his love upon them. He formed man perfect, standing before him in a righteousness that was unstained. But we left our first estate and our first love in open rebellion, not as a surprise to God, not out of his sovereign authority, but because he loved his own. And to establish an everlasting righteousness, God the Father gave those he loved to his Son. The Son, loving his Father and loving those that were given to him, so loved them that he came in their likeness to redeem them. It is his love to us that compelled him to come to where we are, to the tomb. As we are, in our likeness, to live as we are under the law, to accomplish that which we cannot, to keep the law perfectly, and thus obtain that which we sold, a righteous standing before God. Behold how he loved. Did he accomplish a righteousness for us? Did he fulfill what he came to do? Back in John 19. John 19, verse 4. Pilate therefore went forth again and saith unto them, "Behold, I bring him forth to you, that ye may know that I find no fault in him." This same Jesus, declared by the court of men to be without fault, received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." As the Passover lamb was to be separated and examined for any flaw or blemish, our Lord Jesus Christ walked before as a man before the laws of man and God, and none could lay a charge to his account. Indeed, he is the spotless Lamb of God. Behold the man who satisfied the law of God. That he walked perfectly before God and man only shows what he is. He is righteous. He was righteous before he was manifested in the flesh. But as a man, those works that he did in the flesh, he earned righteousness. All of us that are born of Adam's sin, we earn, but we earn death. The wages of sin is death. But this man earned righteousness. Having no sin, he has not earned death. The righteousness he has earned, though, cannot, simply because he obtained it, do anything for me. He earned it. It's his. How then did he save those he loves? Verse 5. Then came Jesus forth, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, and Pilate saith unto them, Behold the man. Our Lord Jesus Christ, seeing our lost condition, remembering his covenant with his Father, those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost. He came in our likeness, fulfilled all righteousness, and was delivered for our offenses. Behold the man, so marred, so bloodied, yet not for any trespass that he has done, but for the offense of those that he came to redeem. He suffers. He suffers all that agony for us to find mercy. There was no mercy for him. He who walked in the flesh healed many, took away the sickness and disease of so many, could not take away in one degree the anguish and the pain he now endures. The penalty due my sin must be paid in full. In his flesh, he endured the beatings in Pilate's hall. Then he is taken and nailed to the cross and hung as a criminal. It is there on the cross God the Father made him sin who knew no sin. Being sin, the Father turned his back on the Son. And my Lord, being so closely identified with me, endured the full wrath of God. He fully experienced what Isaiah wrote, Your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. The wages of my sin is death. And having fulfilled all the scriptures, our Lord cries out, It is finished. And he gave up the ghost. To save wretched, lost sinners, the Son of God laid down his life. Having died, he carried our sins far away. On the third day, he took up his life again, being raised for our justification. Behold the man who saves sinners. Behold our Savior. Behold our King, who God hath highly exalted and given a name which is above every name. When the Lord allows us to see Him rightly, and we see more of His glory, how much more do we behold the man, this sinful, fleshly man, bloody, sinful, crowned with a curse, and robed in self-righteousness. May God be gracious to me, to you, that we are reminded of what we are, that we might flee to Him for mercy. May we be ever thankful for God's sovereign purpose of salvation in and of the Lord Jesus Christ. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Thank God, behold how He loved. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. He obtained the righteousness for us which we could not. Behold, I find no fault in Him. Behold the man, the only man to walk in perfect righteousness before God. Behold the man, God declares, in whom I am well pleased. Behold the man who by himself purged our sins. Behold the man who humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Behold our Savior. Behold the Lord Jesus Christ. May God give us the ability to behold Him personally, experience our salvation, who is Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Eddie.